fourth weekend of Advent. Who can believe that? That's just, guys, it's time to get started. All right, let's go. But I have a Christmas present for you. I've decided to start things with two of my top five illustrations that I've used. One is definitely number two. The other one is somewhere in the top five. I heard Josh stole this from me a couple weeks ago, and I'm not happy with that. And he ruined my life, really, as you'll see. Look at that life. That is so ruined. That's unbelievable. So for those of you who've never met this, I told Josh, get your own life or get your own illustrations. But no, it's fine. Use them if you want. But this is, every single one of us has this, right? And maybe you don't have one of those, but it's the throne. Who's reigning over your life? Who is king of your life? This is often connected to, yes, top two that I've used. Oh, yeah. The box of problems. Mine should be heavier than this, to be honest, right? But it represents something that every single one of us has, right? Everyone walked in here with something in your box of problems. And, you know, there's all kinds of things in here. And that represent, I don't know why toilet paper's in here, but money. Eli Avila last night was like, I finally figured out why you have a ball that's green tape. I was like, he's going to be a pastor someday, that kid, right? And so it's connected to the throne of your life. And I don't know if you knew this. You probably do. But God often calls his people to do uncomfortable things, to walk through hard things, painful things, confusing things, right? And it comes down, and a lot of times we're like, why is this happening? Why don't you fix it? Why don't you answer? And it comes down to, will you trust me in the throne of your life? Or you're like, well, God's not answering. Okay, so how's that going to work out for you? Right? And I'm going to reign. I just need a little help from God. But I got this. But you don't. You see, the title of this message is Nothing Impossible. I promise you this is not a self-help seminar. You can do it. No, you can't. Merry Christmas, right? It is God who does it, right? This is a theme. If you're like, I don't know if I believe you. If you read scripture, it should jump off the page. Story after story. I mean, Noah, I'm going to build this giant ark. It hasn't even rained yet. Really, God? Yeah. What's going to happen? You trust me or not? Abraham. All those years, you promised me a son, and it never happened, and finally, I love my son Isaac, and you're asking me to give him up for you. Yeah. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Right? You have Joseph. Like, my brothers hate me. They sold me to slavery, beat me mostly to my death. I ended up accused of a crime I didn't even commit in prison. God, really, this is my life? Will you trust me? Will you trust that I've called you to it? Moses, I'm a complete failure. I'm nothing, I'm a stutterer, and you want me to go tell the most powerful person, most powerful king in the world, let your people go. Yeah, that's exactly what I want you to do. Joshua, so we march around the city, is what we do? Yep, watch. Well, what's going to happen? Just watch, right? Will you trust me, Joshua? And he did. Gideon, I love that. I love Gideon, right? Reminds me of me. I'm going to need another sign, God, just so we're clear. Why? Well, because we're going to war, and you said shrink the army. They don't teach that at West Point, people, right? You want more, but God says, no, I want less, I want less, I want less. Will you trust me? Who's on the throne of your life? Gideon. And on it goes. David, Goliath? Really? Yes, Goliath. King Jehoshaphat. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Elijah, I'm going to fight all the hundreds of prophets of Baal. I'm going to go up against this king and this even wicked queen. Yeah, I'm calling you to do it. Will you trust me to do that? Pretty much all the prophets. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and I'm just proud I said those names, right? It's all the same. All the prophets. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He wrote Lamentations into the New Testament, right? Like Peter, you can walk on that water, man, as long as you keep your eyes on me. Don't take your eyes off me. You'll sink. Paul, I've called you, Paul, to suffer for my name's sake. it's so hard. My grace is sufficient for you. In the Christmas stories, we saw Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. And now Mary. Mary, I know you're going to think it's impossible, but nothing's impossible for God. And you and I aren't, you aren't going to be the person God's called to live a cushy, comfy life with no hardship, with no box of problems, where you're confused or you're like, I don't understand. And God says, will you trust me? Will you let Jesus be king, or will you keep trying to be king even though you never know where your car keys are? Or will we trust him? Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you. This passage is so familiar to probably most of us. And Lord, yet it's not just a traditional scripture. It's your word, and there's so much to learn and so much to learn how to respond to who you are, Jesus. So I pray that you'd get me out of the way and you just take your spirit and fill our hearts today with whatever we need from you by your grace. Lord, we give all this, just like this whole time together, from the coffee time to the worship through song, to the prayer, our kids now sit, we just give it all for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name. All God's people said? Amen. 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 So you probably know this because Jen did an amazing job reading it already, but we are in Luke 1, 26, if you want to follow along. We saw the announcement about the Christmas Eve services. There are three, and I'm really happy. The only reason we do sign-ups is so everyone doesn't descend on one. They're very evenly split. So I say that, even though if you haven't signed up, it's helpful if you do, so we kind of keep an eye on that. If at the last minute you need to change, or you invite your neighbors or your family, bring them. We made sure we have plenty of room. So don't feel like just because someone didn't sign up or whatever, they can't come. We will not be having bouncers at the door, despite how big Rich Gordon is. He's not ready to throw anyone out of here, all right? He looks like Santa. He wouldn't do that, okay? Don't tell him I said that. Rich is gone, so don't tell him I said that. So we get to this very familiar passage, and Luke writes, in the sixth month, right, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. In the sixth month. This isn't the time of year. This is actually because if you read before this, which we obviously didn't, we were already introduced by Luke to Gabriel, the angel. And he visited a man named Zechariah who would become the father of John the Baptist. And in many ways, Luke parallels the story around John the Baptist and his birth and the story of Jesus and his birth. And what we see is John the Baptist is really, really pretty awesome, but Jesus is so much greater, right? So Gabriel is now sent to Nazareth in the sixth month of Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, John the Baptist's mother's pregnancy, right? And so he goes to Nazareth. And Nazareth was considered an absolute nowhere place that nobody's from, at least nobody important. Later on, someone would say, Jesus is from Nazareth, and nobody good comes from Nazareth. Oh man, it's such a great reminder that God does not look at the same things everyone in the world looks at. Other people might overlook you. Other people might, family, friends, worker, they might look at you as you don't have. God looks at eternal values. He looks at the heart. He looks and he will call you to something, to great things that other people might say, I don't see anything in you. Because Nazareth, who could be from there? In fact, it's more than that. He goes to a virgin, this is Gabriel, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He makes sure Luke does to tell us she's a virgin. That's important, right? In fact, she's betrothed to Joseph. And 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I shared a message out of, or 3 weeks ago maybe, out of Matthew where we had the story of Joseph. And I told you what betrothal is, right? It was a legal binding contract. Money was exchanged hands, and the only way out of it was divorce or death. But it was not marriage. You were promised, but you did not live together, and you did not consummate that yet sexually, right? That happened at a certain point, and then you were married. So she's betrothed to Joseph. Now, we don't know how old Mary was at this point, right? The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know from a cultural context that she was most likely between the ages of 12 and 14. I know. I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I'm like, she ain't getting married right now. Are you kidding me? Right? Things were a bit different in that culture. And it's it's still, even though she was probably a little bit more mature than girls in our culture at that age, because she'd had to be, she's still a very young girl. And she's still in this nowhere place. And she's already thinking, I'm betrothed, I'm going to get married to this guy. And it's already enough on her plate. And now what? Right? Here comes this angel. Now, I want to pause here just a minute. Because Mary, unfortunately, between, you know, different groups and mankind over the generations, over the centuries, has put things on her that they shouldn't. And I just want to remind you, for us here, we derive everything that is true from Scripture. And so what do we know about Mary in the Bible? Not actually a whole lot, but enough. We know that this is where, right, she's from Nazareth, she's betrothed to Joseph, and Gabriel comes, and she says, huh, all right, and we're going to see a little bit later, she's going to go visit Elizabeth, who's pregnant, 6 months pregnant, and she's going to spend some time with her, and that's where she's going to sing one of the greatest worship songs in the Bible, Mary's song. And in that song, Mary is going to say, God, my Savior. She was no doubt a devout young Jewish virgin, betrothed to Joseph. But she was also, just like you, just like me, a sinner. And she needed a Savior. And God, by his grace, called her to carry and give birth to her very Savior, and yours and mine. And so what she would, so after that, she went back to Nazareth, and Joseph married her. They had to go to Bethlehem for the census. She gives birth to Jesus. No room, has to lay him in the manger. Last week we saw the shepherds. They came, told them the gospel. Mary pondered it in her heart. Then, about 8 days later, she has to dedicate Jesus to the temple. And her and Joseph go, and they do that. They meet Anna, and they meet Simeon. Simeon tells her some really cool stuff. But one thing Simeon tells her, if you remember, is that through bearing this child, a very sword is going to pierce through your soul. What does that got to mean? God's calling is beautiful and it's by his grace, but it often hurts and it's often confusing. And so she goes and they settle in Bethlehem for about a year and a half. The Magi come and they bring gifts. But then they find out, her and Joseph find out that Herod wants to kill Jesus. And so they leave. They go hide in Egypt. And then they find out Herod dies. And so now they go back and settle in Nazareth. There's only one more story where Joseph's around. Jesus is 12. And they are parents of the year. Have you ever left your kid in a store? And you're like, I'm the worst mom or worst dad ever. How about leaving him in a city and walking away and having to go back, right? And that's what they did. He was in the temple teaching. Thankfully, unlike you, their kid was Jesus, all right? So he was fine. And so they go back, get him. And then Joseph, now we go, we fast forward to Jesus as an adult. And Joseph is almost definitely dead at that point. Doesn't say that, but he's not around. And Mary has other kids from Joseph. She was a virgin through the birth of Jesus, but she did have other children with Joseph. And these kids, along with Mary, were very uncomfortable at times with Jesus' ministry. You see, Mary knew there was something called a God, and she'd heard these promises, but now everyone seems to, the really powerful people, I should say, seem to hate him, her son. That's scary. So they begin to say, Jesus, I don't think we should go there. Maybe you shouldn't say that. Maybe you shouldn't do that. And Jesus keeps having to say, oh, by the way, I did skip the time that she had to make a bunch of cool wine. I just did, right? But she starts to realize what Simeon was talking about, and she walks all the way to the cross, and there she was, watching the child she bore and raised, this perfect child. I know you think you have the perfect child. All you have is a viper and a diaper. That's all you got. She had an actual perfect child. He was sinless. And yet here he was, the worst death imaginable, and the piercing through her soul. But then she was a witness of Jesus' resurrection. Became a believer, a follower. In the book of Acts, we see Mary. The last thing we see is Mary praying with the church. She was a beautiful part of followers of Jesus. And so what do we say? We need to understand we don't pray to Mary. We don't worship Mary. She didn't ascend into heaven. All of that stuff is legendary. It's not biblical. But man, I hear me when I say this. She is a beautiful example of how to trust and obey and worship God despite a heavy, heavy load, a box of problems. And that's what we'll see. Gabriel comes to her, and it says, he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." That's just a word in the Greek that means grace. The Lord has put grace on thee. It's gonna be hard, but he's blessed you to do this, right? But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Me? What is it going on here? An angel coming to 13 or 14 or what year? Just in Nazareth. This makes no sense. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Again, you have found, God has put his grace upon you. He's put his grace upon you. "And behold," he said, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." If you were with us when we saw Joseph, same thing. Name him Jesus, and we saw in the book of Matthew what that means. It means Yahweh, or the Lord, saves, or God is my salvation. You're going to name him who he is. That Jesus, and just for you type A people, I'm going to give you three quick things of who Jesus is and then our response. And the first is very clear. He is Savior. It's literally what his name means. Now, maybe for a while there, Mary wasn't quite sure. A lot of people weren't. What is he going to save us from? Rome? Poverty? Sickness? Other earthly things? Could have done all that from where he was. No, he came to save us from something that none of us could save us ourselves, our own sin. You see, if you're a sinner, you can't save yourself or anyone else from that sin. Right? That's what's wrong with this world. You're like, what is wrong with this world? Sin. Well, there's got to be something. No. It's what's wrong with the animals, the environment, people, families, brokenness, disease, death. All of it came because of sin. And it's a big, just a hodgepodge of an environment of brokenness, of sin. And so this Jesus came to be born to save us from it. To live that sinless life, to go to a sinner's cross and take the place of you and I who deserve to be there. Because we could never save ourselves. I want you to picture, you're there, it's a remote place. It's a giant canyon, not a grand canyon, all right? I just want to be clear. Not a lot of people there. You're on one side, you can see across it, but it's vast and it's deep. Right? And there you are, you have a few people with you, you just met them, and then you realize that there are lions who are hungry and they're coming to you. You can't go that way, can't go that way, you certainly can't go that way. All you got is the canyon, right? And so the first instinct of every human being is, I can save myself. I can do it. Now you're with other people. Over here with someone you just met, and you realize, wow, he was an Olympic gold medalist in the long jump. Over here was a young man in a wheelchair. And you noticed a pretty athletic woman who, certainly not a gold medalist, but she's probably more athletic than you are. And then you see over here an older guy in a cane. And so all of you are thinking, we got to save ourselves. There's no question if you're comparing each other who's going to jump the furthest, who's probably not. But it doesn't matter. No one can save themselves. You're all going to end up in the bottom of the canyon. And so now you say, maybe someone else can save me. You see across the way, I'm there, some other people who love you, and we want to save you. That's important. Maybe I can jump. Never mind, you're not that important. I'm not going to do that. Maybe I have a rope or something. I don't. Two things have to be in place to save someone. One, you got to want to. That's there. Two, you got to be able to. That's not there. That's the gospel. You see, you'll never, no matter how much you think that you're better than the person next to you or over there, you're never going to be able to save yourself. And there is no one, no religion, no magic that can save you from your own sin. Only this one plan. Jesus, who is Savior. And so if you've came here and you're just like still trying to do it, you just need a little help, maybe a little God, a little... No. You need to get off the throne of your life and you need to give it to Jesus because he's the only one who can save you. Period. You just give your life over to him. The second thing we're going to see in a second, it comes from this one verse. Gabriel continues. He says, he, meaning this baby that you're going to be born with, Mary, will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's another word for God. He will be the Son of God, but he will be great. Jesus is Savior, but Jesus is great. Now, I know we casually throw that word around. Tony the Tiger, they're great. And that's pretty good, Tony. No? No? All right, good. Yeah, not bad. I mean, Frosted Flakes are pretty good, right? We throw it around. Great athlete, great teacher, great person, great, 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 great. The Bible only uses one for the word great, God. So everyone else is, you know, they said that Luke paralleled John the Baptist. It said that he will be great in the Lord. Jesus, great, because he is the Lord. He is great. Why is that important? That you can trust him as the second we're going to see he's king. You can trust him as Savior because he's powerful enough to save you. He's powerful and great enough to sustain you, to redeem you, to hold you for all of eternity. He is worthy of your worship. Why? Because he is great. Truly great. Now, we get this last little piece from Gabriel the angel. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Wow. That's the Messiah. The Old Testament predicted that someone from the line of David would be on the throne forever. That was hard for them to believe. They were still trying to hold on to belief. That was hard because why? Well, they hadn't had a Davidic ruler in hundreds of years at that point, since Babylon. And so how are we supposed to believe this? We got Rome, we had, like, right? But we believe it somehow it's going to come. Now, he's like, this is going to come true with him. He's not only going to reign, not only going to reign over Israel, he's going to reign over everything, and he's going to reign forever. Wow. That's why we introduced that Chris Tomlin song, right? He will reign forevermore. He, Jesus, is Savior. He is great, and he is King. That's the question. It's one thing to say, thanks for the forgiveness, Jesus, now let me take control of my own life. Or will I let him be my king? I've said this before. We are terrible at kings, aren't we? If you're from America, you have it in your DNA to be like, king, I'm my king. Right from day one, you will pull yourself up, pursue the dream, pursue happiness, right? You're in charge of your life. We don't do, in fact, we were born out of getting rid of a king. We have set up our whole government to not have a king for good reason. For the vast, like most people, you get absolute power, it corrupts you absolutely. So if you look throughout world history, there have been a few okay kings, mostly really bad kings, because they can't handle that kind of power. And so you and I should be a little bit suspicious of letting someone have control over our lives until what? Until it's God himself. Until it is the great Jesus. And here's the thing. You can trust him because he will be reigning forever. Look, I don't know if you think about heaven and sometimes like, what? Like, I hopefully you don't think it's just going to be one long boring church service. Right? You're not going to be on a cloud like Tom and Jerry. Ding, 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 right? That's not, like, there's going to be life there. It's just not going to have tears or anxieties or sin because Jesus paid for it. He redeemed it. And when he comes again, it's all going to take place. And so you're going to live there and you're going to be growing in the knowledge of his glory. You're going to be growing in the joys of Jesus. And all the while, you're going to trust him and obey him as king. It's so important. Because if you're truly going to believe him and do what he says, even when it makes no sense, right? Every human instinct is, you got to explain to me why I should do this, endure this, right? But Jesus says, because I'm your king and you can trust me. Because I have something greater for you that will bring me glory and will be good for you, but you have to trust me. I'm not going to lay it all out. That's why we began that way with all the people in the scripture. Build the ark. Bring your son to me. Trust me, I'm king, you aren't. And so Jesus is Savior, Jesus is great, Jesus is king. Now, how did Mary respond, right? So, Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? That's a good question. He hasn't told her this yet, right? And she's like, I just want to make clear for the record, I'm a virgin. You know that, right, Gabriel? Right? Yes, we got that. But
You know, he hasn't said, you're going to have a kid. Or am I going to have a kid? I'm not married. I haven't, like, I'm a virgin. All right? So how can this be? And so Gabriel answers her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Holy. Now, this is incredibly important. He's going to be born of Mary, so he'll be fully human. For someone to take a human's place, to take the wrath of God because of sin, they have to be human. But he's also overshadowed, she's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She does not inherit the sin of Adam, and so he's God. And so now he can be a perfect, sinless Savior because God has done this, even though it seems impossible, right? And behold, your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Mary's like, wait a minute, my old hag cousin? No, no, she wouldn't say that, I don't think. This old lady, she's having a kid? Are you kidding me? Right, and she doesn't know, it's 6 months, but this is back then. Like, this isn't where Elizabeth had a whole Instagram, like, every month, you know, the whole thing. And Mary got to go, oh, great, you know, that's awesome. No, she doesn't know, she doesn't know. So she hears from the angel, what? Elizabeth, she was barren, she was old. She's going to have to go see that. That's going to be the sign, right? Now, how crazy it is, but he says, for nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible with God. Remember that, right? Because no matter what, Mary's not going to be like, all right, I'm going to have a kid, I'm a virgin, but will it into existence, manifest it. No. You got nothing. But with God, even as a virgin, you will have a child. Because nothing's impossible for God. They parallel the two. Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth is going to have a baby when it was impossible for her to do so. But she still had it the natural way. Mary is going to have a baby as a virgin because John the Baptist is really pretty awesome, but Jesus is so much greater. Nothing will be impossible. So what's the response? What will Mary say? Behold. Everything is always cooler when you say behold, just so you know. Go to work tomorrow and be like, behold, I've brought the coffees. You know, it'll make everything taste better. All right, get me back on track here, all right? We got to be here for Christmas. All right. Behold, she said, look, I am the servant. Could translate that slave of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now that just seems like a religious thing. It's not. That's a teenage girl just told you're going to, as a virgin, have a baby. It's going to be God's son and he's going to be Savior. And you're like, okay, let's do it. I trust you. You think Mary was just like levitating going, oh, I have no doubts. No. She's like, I have a lot of questions. What do you mean? What's Joseph going to say? Are they going to stone me? Are they going to kick me out of the synagogue? They're not going to think I'm you. Come on. All of the questions that you would have. And yet, she said, you're on the throne. You are reigning over my life, Lord. I don't understand any of this. And this box of problems, it just got a little weightier. But it seems like you're doing something awesome. And so I will believe you. I will obey you. And we won't do it. Later, if you want, you can turn the page and read that beautiful song, because all the way through it, she worshiped. And so the response to all of this for us should and can be, if you let it, be the same. Believe, obey, and worship. You have a box of problems. I know you do, right? And I don't belittle any of them, right? Don't be comparing your box to someone else. Well, it's not as bad. You got problems. You got stresses, you got anxieties, you got illnesses, you got family issues and conflicts, you got struggles financially, you got all kinds of stuff. You walked in here and then compound it with the things that, man, you said, God, please help me with this. And it just seems like he's quiet or he's waiting or he said no, and it doesn't make any sense, right? And so the question will become, will you let him be king or will you try to? Will you try? Like me saying, well, God, you didn't answer me, so I got this. couldn't find my eyeglasses for like 3 hours yesterday. But I'm going to solve the world's problems. No, right? But that's what we do. But instead, say, no, no, no. I don't understand why. I trust you. I believe you, and I obey you. I obey your word. This starts with salvation. Some of you, maybe one of you, I don't know how many of you, you might have this problem. You don't even know it's a problem. But it's the worst problem you have. I had this problem in college. And it was, you don't think you need a savior. You still think you can jump the canyon. You still think, especially if you're young, I got this. I'm not as bad as that joker over there. Except you probably didn't use the word joker, but this is a sermon. And you can't. And I just plead with you to don't take as long as I did to come to the end of all that and to realize your problems will never be, you'll never be saved from that sin by you or by your actions. It will never happen. The best thing you can do is just to say, Jesus, save me. Save me. You died for me. Save me. Now, the other side of the coin, you could be here and you could be going, I believe all that, Jamie, but you don't know what's in my box. If you did, you wouldn't talk to me. You'd shudder. You'd call the police. Maybe that's true. The mess I've made. I've never been religious. I don't, right? And I'll just tell you this. I know you don't mean it to be. It's kind of prideful to think you're the life, you're the sinner who it's just like not too big for the cross. But it isn't. I'm here to tell you and plead with you to understand that the cross is enough. It's enough. It's enough. That's why it's so gruesome. That's why it was so horrible, because it is there where Jesus said, it is finished. Your sin is finished forever. You need that Savior. You need him to be Savior and King because he is great. Now, a lot of us, I know a lot of people in the room, we already have that salvation, but remember what we say all the time. You got to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Because God calls us as believers to do uncomfortable things. He calls us as believers to do things, and I'd be happier if I cheated a little bit, if I was just a little unfaithful. Is that a thing? A little unfaithful? I don't think so. But we create definitions, right? I'm sure God would understand, even though that's what his word says not to do, right? And it just comes down to whether or not we will put him in charge of our life. Will we believe him, and then therefore, will we obey him? As I've been saying throughout this series, the two always go hand in hand, right? I've used some illustrations. Let me use another one. You go to a doctor, and because you got something going on, and the doctor says, okay, this is pretty serious, but we can deal with this. You got to change your lifestyle. You got to stop smoking, or you got to start exercising, diet. Plus, we got to do this procedure, surgery maybe, medicine, whatever it is, okay? Lays it out. If you do this, you're going to be good. Right? Now, you have a choice. Do I believe this doctor? Doctor kind of knows what he or she is talking about. I don't. I'm going to believe. Or, quack, I'm not going to believe and walk away. You have that choice. If you say you believe, how do we know you really believe? You obey. If you're like, yeah, I believe that, and then you go and you don't do anything, I don't think you really believed. So they're linked. That's the same with Jesus as our King. They are linked. Don't say you believe him, but then you don't obey him. I don't think you really believe him if you don't. Even when it's hard. Even when it's like, man, that person deserves me to punch back. And yet God's word says to radically forgive. How can I do that? By letting him have the throne of your life. Letting him justify. Letting him have it. Belief will always mean obedience. He calls us to a radically different response. You're going to have troubles in this world. I have this podcast that some of you have been on, some of you have seen. It sounds like a shameful promotion. But trust me, no one watches the podcast for me. I don't really do much. I just sit and ask questions and let people tell stories of what God has done through some big struggles. The whole purpose of it is to inspire you to say, God will do great things in your struggle. I just had Nick, who's right here in the front row. He was supposed to be gone, but his plane got delayed, so he's leaving today. So I'm glad Nick's here. I just had him. We haven't released that yet.
And I've been wanting to talk to him, but he's visiting his family. He's down in Virginia in med school. But I wanted to talk to him about his struggle, right, with alopecia. Did I say it right? I got it. Oh, I always screw that up. Maybe you've never heard of that, but it's where you lose your hair, sometimes partially, in his case, fully, right? And it was his freshman year away at school where it happened. And he acknowledges that's not the biggest problem that you could have in life, right? But it's still pretty big. You go to school, you want to make an impression, you want to maybe get a girlfriend, and you lose all your hair, right? He was prayed over, anointed by a pastor with oil, all the things you should do, believed God could do it, and God said no. And yet, as you'll see when you see that, he talks about he's glad now God said no, because all that God did and all that he's doing and all that he will do. But in that, he had to say, do I believe him enough to obey him? Or will I say, heck with you, God, you didn't answer me, I'm out of here? Or will I say, I don't understand why. It's just hair. You could restore it like that. Why won't you? Because I'm Jesus and I know better than you. So whatever your problems might be, whatever God's calling you to walk through right now, that's uncomfortable, that's hard, that's confusing, the question is, will you believe his word and therefore obey him? I trust you. Every day you got to get off this. Every day. I know I do. Right? Oh, Jesus, I took control again. That was stupid. Right? And so you believe and you obey, and then all the way through it, you worship him. Is there a better time than to worship God in the lowest parts of your life? If you've been there, you know how amazing it is to sing to the glories of Christ when you were in the deepest pit, to sing praises to God, to pray praises to God when you have the most fierce pain, to be able to sing in the face of the enemy as he's saying, God doesn't love you, he won't help you, and you worship and say, oh, I believe him, and I obey him, and I will worship him forever because he is king. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that your word is true, that your spirit is present with us. And I thank you, first of all, that there might be someone here or online with us, or later we'll see this, and you will quicken their heart to salvation. They will realize they can't jump that canyon. They are in sin, and they need a Savior, and you are the only Savior. Help, oh Spirit, for their minds to be cleared, for the enemy to be gone, and for them to see they need you, that they will trust you right now as I pray. Maybe they don't think they need you, show them they do. Maybe they think they're too far gone, show them you've saved far worse, and you can save them too. You want to, and you have the power to. And Father, I pray for all of the box of problems that are represented in this room right now, including my own. The stresses and anxieties and fears and depressions and worries and all of it, Lord, we lay at your feet. Give us the courage through your Spirit to believe your word and to obey you, even when it's hard, confusing, seems impossible, for we know nothing's impossible with you. And we know we have troubles, but you said, Jesus, you promised, take heart, you've overcome the world. We want, Lord, I want my prayers, everyone here is yours, and that we will sing to the glories of you, our King, who reign forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to, let's stand and sing together.